After 8 years of struggles in marriage, can real change be possible? One woman wrote to the Spanish program of Revive Our Hearts to tell us why hope is alive.
I started listening to Aviva Nuestros Corazones a few months ago at the insistence of a friend. I was intrigued by the tremendous change I saw in her and her relationship with her husband. I began listening to the series Manifiesto de la Mujer Verdadera, or The True Woman Manifesto. Since my conversion to Jesus, this has been the greatest period of spiritual growth in my life.
Ha habido varios puntos críticos cuando herejías o problemas surgían en la iglesia.
After 8 years of constant sadness, anger, and resentment with my husband, God has changed my heart and put a true love in my heart for him. I've learned to appreciate my husband's qualities. I repented of my own sins and stopped thinking that my husband was the one who needed to change. I bless God for raising up this countercultural ministry, and I bless you for obeying his plan. A big hug in Christ from Costa Rica.
Wow, that's what this ministry is all about. And when we say we want to help women find freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ, that's what this looks like. Now, we were able to provide that teaching series for this woman in Costa Rica because listeners to Revive Our Hearts also wanted to help women find freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. And so they contributed what they could to the ministry. And that gift has resulted in a woman halfway around the world finding true joy in Christ. There's so many others in other parts of the world today who are still living a life of resentment, bitterness, and anger. And that makes me want to continue speaking the truth of God's word to help set those women free. Are you with me? Would you be willing to help us make that possible? As I've been sharing with you recently, Revive Our Hearts is in a financial challenge because giving has been down in recent months. And if that doesn't change, we'll have to scale back our core outreaches, even in the midst of a time when we've got so many great opportunities. But I know a big God who can meet those needs and can turn this challenging season around. If you'd like to stand with Revive Our Hearts today by making a donation, give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us online at reviveourhearts.com.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth, author of Brokenness, The Heart God Revives, for Thursday, May 11th, 2017. Over the last couple of days, Nancy's talked about God's faithfulness in times of trouble. If you missed any of this practical message, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. She delivered this message to close one of the True Woman conferences. It's been a study of Psalm 107, which talks honestly about life's struggles. Nancy's here to show us how this passage also offers hope.
So we've seen trouble, crying, deliverance, and what comes next? Praise and thanksgiving. There's a refrain that's repeated four times in this chapter, and the first two lines are the same each time. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Quoting again my friend Charles Spurgeon, he says, they must be horrible ingrates who will not honor such a deliverer for so happy a rescue from the most cruel death. Listen, if you're a child of God, God has already redeemed and delivered you from the worst possible outcome that anyone, from sin, from Satan, from hell, from eternal damnation and condemnation, from the wrath of God. You have been delivered. You may be in a storm, you may be in some other kinds of chains, but you've been delivered in the ways that matter most for all of time and eternity. So, says the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One devotional writer I've been reading says, a soul redeemed demands a life of praise. You might want to just write that in the margin of your Bible there. I've written it in mine. A soul redeemed demands a life of praise. Women, if you've been redeemed, if I've been redeemed, it is unthinkable that we should live lives of anything other than unceasing, unending praise and thanksgiving and worship. Now, we may do that through tears. And we may do it at times when all around us seems dark, when the waves are so high that we're, you know, like sick to our stomachs, that we can't see over them, we can't see beyond them, we can't find our way, we're wandering around, we're at our wit's end. But we lift our eyes up to heaven, into the light of His face, up from our darkness, and we say, oh God, I choose to believe that You are good, that Your steadfast love endures forever, and I give You thanks that I have been redeemed. A lady wrote to us, and she said, years back in the early days of Revive Our Hearts Radio, I was a heap of a mess on my kitchen floor as you spoke about loving your husband. This past week, fast forward, I was once again a heap of slobbering mess, but this time it was out of pure joy, thanksgiving, adoration, worship, and praise to my Heavenly Father for His unending, undeserved faithfulness, grace, and mercy. She said, the Lord has restored my family and my marriage. And here I think this is even more important. He has rescued me out of the slimy pit of self. And every day, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, every day I have the glorious opportunity of speaking biblical truth into the hearts of discouraged women. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, let me just walk us quickly through the conclusion here, starting at verse 33, where we see just a reminder of the sovereignty of God over all of life. Verse 33, He turns rivers into a desert. Say, I'm not sure I want that. Springs of water into thirsty ground. We're going the wrong way here. A fruitful land into a salty waste. Don't want that. Why? Because of the evil of its inhabitants. Let me just say a word to some who may be here that you feel really satisfied with the way things are in your life right now. Things are comfortable. Think everything's just going fine. And that's okay to have some of those seasons. God is a God of seasons. But I want to tell you this. If in the midst of you thinking everything's going okay, if in the midst of that your heart is not turned toward Him, if you are covering sin, if you're living in a slimy pit of self, God can, with a word, change the course of your life. He can turn those rivers into a desert. He can turn those springs of water, what you think are springs of water, into thirsty ground. He can turn what you think is a fruitful land into a salty waste. And let me say to those with prodigal children or friends, husbands, important word here, all of those women who were crying in the aisles here last night, be willing to let God be God in that person's life. And be willing to let God do whatever He knows is needed in their life to make them desperate for Him. Because when are they going to cry out to God? When they're in trouble, right? And sometimes the trouble needs to get to be bigger trouble. And you're a mom and you're a wife and you love your kid and you don't want to see him hurt. And some of you are perpetually trying to rescue your kids and your mates and everybody around you from the cross. And God's trying to get them to the cross. And you're always trying to get them off the cross. You may get them off, but they'll be bloodied and weak and wounded. God wants them to come whole, to be redeemed, to be rescued from their sin. So let God be God. Don't try to rescue them from the cross. Now don't you put them on the cross, okay? You let God do what He knows is needed. But here's the good news. Know that whatever discipline God brings about in our lives or those we love, He can also, with a word, restore. Look at verse 35. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. You see, in this psalm, we've seen spelled out the theme of this weekend. He wants to take you to a place of freedom. Verse 16, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. That sounds like freedom to me. Get up, you're free, go. Sin no more. Freedom. Look at the fullness in verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Freedom, fullness, and look now at fruitfulness. Verse 37. These people who've been through all this, they've been in trouble, they've cried, they've been delivered, they're giving thanks. Look at verse 37. Now they sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, God sent chastisement, he sent discipline, he sent trouble, he sent storms, but now he sends blessing. They multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. Verse 41, he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. That's not just for married people, by the way, too. God puts the solitary, the single, in families. God wants to make you fruitful. He wants to... Now, God doesn't, he's not going to do this. You're going to sow the field. You're going to plant the vineyards, verse 37, but God's going to give the increase, a fruitful yield. He's going to bless and you're going to multiply greatly. And as you're needy and you cry out to him, he's going to raise you up and he's going to make us have families like flocks. Fruitfulness in Christ. There are a lot of women in this room who are going home to hard places, hard jobs, ungodly environments. And for a few days here, you've been able to kind of push that stuff out of your mind, and here we're sitting, you know, on the mountaintop, listening to God's word and singing songs and loving Jesus, and a few hours from now, you're going to be in a whole different place. We have 600 senior pastors' wives here. Some of them, I can tell you, are hurting really badly. Some of them, some of you, are in churches that if God doesn't intervene, it's chaos, it's a mess, it's not what it's supposed to be. Some of you are going back to that tomorrow, if not sooner. But I want to tell you this, wherever you're going, he will go with you. He will go in you, and he wants to make you fruitful even in the place of your affliction. You can experience fullness, freedom, and fruitfulness in Christ as long as you keep abiding in him and letting him have his way, letting him be God, trusting him with what you can't understand, not demanding answers, not demanding fixes, yes, crying out, and then trusting God to deliver in his way. And not only does God want to turn some of the desert places where you are in his way and time into fruitful places, but for generations to come, the fruit of your walk with Christ will be experienced in the lives of coming generations. One commentator says about this conclusion here, although there are ups and downs in this life, the end of all things for God's people is not down, but up. Can you remember that? We know this and we look for it because we know that God is both good and sovereign. God loves us. And because he does, he comforts us, preserves us, and brings us through even the hardest experiences in life. Two more verses. What's the outcome? Verse 42, the upright see it and are glad. There's joy for the people of God. Anybody here leaving with joy greater than what you came with? Some of you get your cup, your joy cup filled. Joy is not an emotion. It affects us in our emotions. But joy is the presence of Christ with me, in me, through me, in the midst of the storm and the pain. But look what else happens. As this redemptive story is lived out, as the gospel's lived out through us, I love this. All wickedness shuts its mouth. Shut up! All wickedness. You see here, the restraint of evil When God's people are being the people of God, as we're living in freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ, in God's time. I watched the news today and I'm going, God, let wickedness shut its mouth. You have the encroaching powers of false religions and evil people in this world. You say, yeah, it's bad out there, but it's true in my world, where I live, in my workplace, in my family. There's so much evil. I want to tell you, one day, as you walk with him through this, all wickedness will shut its mouth. And could I say too, that means also all the wickedness that's in here, in my heart, in your heart. Listen, it's a proud heart that only sees the wickedness out there and thinks it's their problem, it's their issue, it's their fault. That's pride. Heart of humility says, Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, oh Lord. Uproot the wickedness out of my own heart. And through Christ, all that wickedness can shut its mouth. Final exhortation, verse 43, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Listen, there are women in this room who feel like you don't deserve his goodness, his mercy, his love. You're thinking, I deserve what I'm getting, that storm, the prison. A lady came to me last night and said, I made some very foolish choices, much like Chrissy's. And I've repented. I've come back to the Lord, but there were still pulling out thorns in my life. So some feeling, I deserve what I'm getting. And some of you may be reluctant to run into his arms, reluctant to believe that that steadfast love of the Lord could be for you. Well, can I just say, first of all, you're right about one thing. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Those of us who think we deserve it don't deserve it. We don't deserve the steadfast love of the Lord, but he gives it anyway. He gives it to undeserved rebels, enemies, undeserving. And knowing that, can I remind you that you don't have to perform to be loved by him? You don't have to fix your own life. Cry out to him and believe him to come and do by his grace what you could never do. Could we bow our hearts in prayer in these closing moments? I want to just ask you two questions in this quiet moment. First of all, did you identify with some of the trouble we read about? Maybe right now, are you lost, wandering, in some sort of prison, sick, storm-tossed? What do you do when you're in trouble? Cry out to the Lord. A lot of women did that last night. But crying out to the Lord shouldn't be just something we do when an invitation's given. It's something we ought to be doing all the time. Don't stop. Keep crying out. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Cry out to the Lord. Second question. Now let me back up. Keep crying out and believe that in his way and in his time, he will rescue you. He will bring you to your desired haven. Second question, have you been redeemed? Have you been delivered from trouble? What do? Two things. You give thanks. Would you do that just right now from your heart? Maybe just whisper a prayer of thanks for his redeeming love in your life, for his goodness. And then you tell others, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Declare it to God. Declare it to others.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth talking about God's faithfulness in times of trouble. Nancy will be back in a few minutes. Before she's back, we want to give a couple of listeners the opportunity to do what Nancy just described. They want to give praise to God for what He's been doing in their lives.
My name is Kalila Shelton from Cleveland, Ohio.
She's been greatly affected by a workbook called True Woman 101 by Mary Cassian and Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth.
I first heard about True Woman 101 last year at a mom's group study that I attend, and that was the workbook for the class. And we went through the study week by week. I've done workbooks before, but I've not been known for finishing them. So I kind of looked at it as one of those things where I would probably start and kind of go through it and not expect too much and, you know, make sure I got my work done. But I wasn't excited about it at first. I started actually reading and doing the homework, and I was like, whoa.
True Woman 101 was challenging a lot of what Kalila had learned about what it means to be a woman.
And then I started reading the scriptures that Nancy and Mary had in the book to back up what they were saying. And you can't deny what the scripture says. And I was just overwhelmed by how my thinking had gone so far into a worldly way of thinking, even as a Christian, and even as being in the church for a while now. But my thinking was still divided. And so when I read the scriptures and the Lord really began to show me areas of my life where I was thinking along the worldly way as opposed to scripturally, then it was something I was forced to deal with if I believed that the scripture is God's inerrant word. So I began to get more and more excited about the study after I was offended by the word of God. So he really changed my heart to be able to receive what he had to say.
When she started the study, Kalila had left her job as an engineer at a pharmaceutical company. She wanted to make her three children her top priority. The study True Woman 101 encouraged her as she lived out this choice.
It really helped me to understand that my role as a mother and my role as a wife are not menial in any way, shape, or form. And the work that we do is not menial, whether it's changing diapers or, you know, writing reports in corporate America. It doesn't matter as long as we're doing it for His glory and in obedience to where He's called us as individual women to be. I have two daughters, and I can't imagine having passed down through another generation the things and the lies that I have been told. Not purposely lied to, but in just valuing my experience over the word of the Lord, valuing what I have been through and the good things that had come out of it, as opposed to thinking biblically. And so passing that on to my daughters is absolutely going to be something that I hope and pray that they will approach life a lot differently and that they don't have to struggle through some of the same things that I struggled through, maybe not physically, but mentally, and just where their hearts are. I also have a son who has to one day, if the Lord wills, you know, find a wife. And so he has to know what to look for, but first know who he is and why he is the way he is, so that he understands that this is the way God made me, and this is what I need to look for when I look for a wife. And hopefully she'll be something like his mother.
Kalila was so excited about True Woman 101, she wanted to share it with her friend who was about to get married.
My name is Selena Turner, and I am from Cleveland, Ohio.
Selena wasn't that excited, but started the study for Kalila's sake.
So I went ahead and I got the book and we started it. And like the first week, I was like blown away. First of all, I felt like I had got punched in my face several times just by what it was saying. And I did not understand what I was reading and I was processing it. And anyway, it was very difficult at first because it was just like, okay, this is completely contrary to what I thought a true woman was and what womanhood was. And from then on, I was like, okay, I just need to, you know, continue to move forward and read the rest and see what's going to come.
Like her friend, Selena checked True Woman 101 with the Bible.
I studied the scripture as well, and I looked at the scripture, and I looked at all the exercises and the intro stories, and all of it came together, and it was just crazy to read what it was saying and then look at the scriptures and go, this is like real, you know, like not that they would, Mary and Nancy would come up with a book that was not true, but the fact that it was backed up with scripture was just shocking to me. And I felt a couple of different ways. I felt one, this is crazy, I've never heard this before. And then I felt angry a little bit too, because over the course of the study, you just start to think like, wow, the devil has really like pulled a fast one on all of us. Like, we completely have the wrong perspective of what a woman is and how many women don't know what a true woman is, and how many women in my own family don't know what a true woman, what a true woman is. And so I, you know, the scriptures just, you know, completely, like I said, smack you in the face just with this is the truth, you know, and then you really feel those two ways. You just feel, you know, excited, but then you also feel angry at the same time, so.
Selena went through True Woman 101 in the weeks leading up to her wedding, which gave her a strong biblical foundation for marriage.
On my mom's side of the family, there are no marriages, as far as my aunts and uncles are concerned, that lasted, or they either never got married at all or they got divorced. And then on my dad's side, there's only one lasting marriage. And so I will say, you know, obviously marriage is two people serving each other. But I do believe that if my aunts knew what a true woman was, that some of the marriages probably would survive. And I think choices would have been different, you know, as far as who you choose as a spouse or, you know, who you choose to marry.
Revive Our Hearts is producing resources like True Woman 101 to help women thrive in Christ. It's part of an overall ministry goal of calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. Here's Kalila again.
Revive Our Hearts is a place to go when the world has possibly beat you down, or a place to go where there are things that you don't quite understand why they are the way they are. And the world says that they're okay, but there's something as a Christian in your heart, you know that that's not the truth. So I was somewhere and they said, you know counterfeit money by seeing real money, not by seeing other counterfeit things. So when you know the real thing, and Revive Our Hearts brings that out, then when you know the real thing, whenever you see a counterfeit, it's like, I can't go for that. Absolutely not, because I know the real.
Revive Our Hearts is able to produce resources like True Woman 101 thanks to listeners who support the ministry. We're thankful for how God is using this small group study, but we are challenged to develop new materials like this because of a serious funding gap we're facing right now. For all the details on the serious need and your opportunity to help, visit reviveourhearts.com. You may have heard of the Kendrick brothers, filmmakers who brought us the movie War Room. Tomorrow, we will hear from the woman who taught them about prayer and continues to pray for each of their projects. Get to know this unsung hero behind the scenes tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.